Okay, welcome everybody. I think I'll get started now. Maybe a few more people filtering in. So we're here to talk about the new developments that we have for spreadsheet management in Office and SharePoint. My name is Steve Kranak. I'm a program manager. Is there a question already? I'm a program manager in the Excel group at Microsoft. And I just wanted to start out by getting a feel for the audience. So show of hands for people who do not use Excel in their organization. Anyone? Okay. So that means everyone's using Excel, so can I see a show of hands of people who use it for critical decision-making, keeping track of, you know, really important financials and things like that? Okay. So you're in the right place. Okay. So we've been doing some work in Office around spreadsheet control innovation and just trying to frame this and describe kind of where this fits in some overall strategies that we have in Office. So we do have both a user side of this and an administrative side. So on the user side, you'll see some desktop tools that offer some productivity enhancements. You'll see a real nice time saver where you can compare spreadsheets and databases side by side. We're talking about immutability. Can't say that too well. Now, we all know that there's not a whole lot immutable about spreadsheets because they're always changing, but we'll keep that in mind. Data governance is one of the main things we're about here. So all the critical data that's being tracked and passed around in spreadsheets, we want to try to put some controls around that. And then finally, there's a discovery aspect to it, and we'll touch on that. Okay. So before I really get into I do have some slides I want to go through to kind of frame this whole topic, but before I do that, I want to just do a real quick demo to kick things off. So I'll drag my machine over here. And okay, so one of the things I want to show is a new way that you can take advantage of the version control that you have within SharePoint, and this is a super easy thing you can do. So here I have a spreadsheet. I'm just going to open that up. I have the versioning turned on in this document library, so I have a few versions of this document. So I open it up, and I really want to know how this is different from the last time I used it or maybe a few days ago, and it's extremely simple now. So I go back to the version history, and I'll pick one from a couple days ago. Open that up. So now I have the current version and the old version open up, and we have this new add-in called Inquire, and we'll talk a lot more about this. But one of the things you can do there is just compare any two workbooks that you have open. It gives me a chance to save any changes I may have made, which I didn't. And voila. So now we have a detailed comparison of these two workbooks, and we can see all the differences. And I'm going to get into a lot more detail, but I just think it's a really nice thing. Hopefully you can just see how easy that is. Now you don't have to really go line by line or do any really tough investigative work to find out what changes occurred in your spreadsheets. Okay. Get rid of that. Okay. So first, a little bit of history about spreadsheet controls and why they're important. So I think most of you have probably heard of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, or SOX 404, as a lot of people call it. So that was really something that kickstarted the need for spreadsheet controls from a regulatory standpoint. Of course, just from a good business standpoint, there's a need for spreadsheet controls. But that was something that really, I guess, put it in at a much higher light. And there's some other guidelines and regulations in different areas throughout the last decade or so that have kind of pushed this along. And I think from the economic times that we had in 2008, there's going to be more and more regulation. So I think this will continue to be very important. But anyway, that's just kind of a little bit of a history. And I'm not going to really talk about all these, but you can certainly read a lot about it on Wikipedia or whatever and find out exactly what all these things mean. And then I'll talk about the actual spreadsheet control technologies themselves. So at first, way back in the beginning, it was just really a white paper. So PwC put out a white paper recommending you know, how to control your spreadsheets. But at that time, it was really just a policy on paper, right? And then early adopters of spreadsheet control started doing things just by, you know, manually trying to control their documents. Okay, then around 2005, some technology vendors came into the market. One of them was called Protience, and that's actually a company that I worked for before I came to Microsoft. We had some pretty basic things, like you could turn on an audit trail in a workbook and it would actually live inside the workbook, things like that. We had some early adopters who were actually implementing those controls because they wanted to really get ahead of the curve. Gradually, of course, the technology got better. There were several vendors that released kind of the second wave of these tools and had big improvements over the first ones. Then we see, again, I mentioned already, around the 2008-2009 timeframe, with all the difficulties in the financial markets, there was increased regulation and scrutiny of especially spreadsheets. And then after that, we started to see some leaders and best practices, and there are consulting groups that have practices built around spreadsheet controls. And then 2011, very significant for myself, Microsoft acquired the Protience Corporation so that they could really quickly get some spreadsheet control tools built into Office. And that's what I'm going to show you here today. Okay. So before I go too far, I want to just give you a definition. So the term spreadsheet, obviously we all know what that is, but there's this also this term EUC. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with that if you're familiar with spreadsheet controls at all, but just to make sure everyone's aware. So when we say EUC, we're talking about an end-user computing application or something that was developed by end users. And generally, we're talking about the critical ones. So the second panel there, critical spreadsheets and databases created by end users. And the key here is really without the involvement of IT, right? So Excel's a really powerful tool. You have people sitting at their desk making these really complex spreadsheets to do the calculations they need, but they don't have the background to develop an application, and they may not test it right. They probably don't have it documented very well and things like that. And that's kind of the third point here. Okay. So the issue is really, there's no scientific data behind this statement, but I think, you know, we can say that there is a great deal of risk with using spreadsheets, and it can directly cause financial statements to be misstated, right? So the problem with that also is that the technology is less controlled than other things. So it's not like an application that really has great security around it for the most part. Again, a lot of times spreadsheets are developed by end users. They're tested, if they're tested, by the same person who developed it, and then they're used by that person, and then that same person trusts the data that comes out of it. So it's kind of a bad situation. If there's an error to be found in there, they're generally not going to find it because they built the thing and it looks right, so it's good. So I just have a simple scenario here. The question is, do you trust this spreadsheet? So you might look at it and say, yeah, it looks pretty good to me. It looks pretty. It's got good numbers in there. But if you take a closer look and really investigate it, maybe you'll find some broken links. So here's an exchange rate that won't be changing anymore because there's a broken link. Maybe I have some plugged formulas, which are cells where there was a formula and somebody pasted a value over top of it. Maybe there's some invisible cells, right? Negative formulas. I'll touch on this a bit later, but just basically a formula that starts with the minus sign and could be a typo, maybe not. Maybe there's some funny business going on with a very hidden sheet. Anyone know what a very hidden sheet is? We've got a winner here. Sort of. It can be other things. The answer was Excel for macros, but so I'll show a very hidden sheet in a little bit, so there won't be any question about that. So really, after taking a closer look, I wouldn't want to trust this spreadsheet. So if you're a CFO and you have this spreadsheet, you're going to have some questions. Who's responsible? How many of these do we have? Where are they? Who can access them? Which ones contain errors or fraud? And how do we prevent this from happening again? Okay, so that's really what we're trying to address with the tools that I'm going to show you here today. Okay, so I'm going to just introduce them. So we have two tools that are server tools. The first one is called Discovery and Risk Assessment. I'll go through a detailed demo of this, but I just want to differentiate this a little bit. If you've heard about e-discovery tools in SharePoint and Outlook, this is a little bit different. This is really a tool specifically designed for spreadsheets and Access databases, and it's not looking at content in other kinds of files. But we'll take a close look. So the idea of this tool is to get an inventory in your organization of your EUCs, and it does a risk assessment. And it's really a good way that you not only can just know what's in your organization, but prioritize, so which ones are critical, which ones are less critical, so you know exactly where to begin to start putting controls on these things. The other server tool that we have is called Audit and Control Management Server. Nice catchy name. And basically, this is a server tool that will track changes in spreadsheets and Access databases. So it's non-intrusive. The end user truly doesn't even need to know that it's there and running. But it's kind of like Big Brother, just keeping track of what's happening in the spreadsheets. Then we have some desktop tools. Spreadsheet Compare that I already showed you. There's a Database Compare tool that we'll get to. And there's Spreadsheet Inquire, which I touched on a little bit. Spreadsheet Inquire is an add-in to Excel, and it's used for a detailed analysis of a spreadsheet. Okay. So this slide just talks about some of the recommended controls given by auditors. So you can see the controls there on the left and the solution that we have for it. So they're pretty basic and easy to understand what these are. So you need access control, change control, version control, and we think we have a pretty good way to address these with the combination of SharePoint and these tools that I'm showing to you now. Okay. So first, this is a screenshot of the discovery and risk assessment. We'll go through a detailed demo of this. But basically, the point is that you're trying to classify all of your spreadsheets and databases into high, medium, or low risk so that you know which ones you need to focus on. We have the Audit and Control Management Server, and this is just a screenshot of some of the screens in there. One is the audit trail, basically the change history for changes down at the cell level within a file. There's also a version history. So even though we're going to focus on files that are in SharePoint, you can actually track files that are on network shares as well. And a little more detail on that tracking capability. So for Excel files, the ACM server can track these types of changes. So formula changes, so any cell that has a formula in it, if the formula changes, we're going to track that. If you insert or delete rows and columns, we'll track that. Code changes, so you'll see how we can do a real detailed tracking of even one character changing in VBA code. If you change a name range, so we're actually talking about the definition of the range, we'll keep track of that. We track entered values, which we differentiate those just from a value. So an entered value is a non-formula cell. There's further down the list calculated values, which are values that change because a formula calculated it. We can track workbook protection changes. So if you add a password or take away a password, sheet protection, same kind of thing if you add a password to a sheet. And then even cell formatting changes can be tracked. So for Access databases, we basically try to track all the objects in there. So if you see on the list here, it's really looking at all the different features that you can build in Access, but we're not tracking the data. That's the one important aspect. Okay. Spreadsheet Compare, and we'll take a closer look at that. Spreadsheet Inquire, again, this is the Excel add-in to analyze, document, and understand your spreadsheets, and we'll look close at that. And I brought this as an example. This is something I collected from, or actually, some unnamed customers when I was with Proteance. And these are examples showing a relationship diagram. So the little dot that you see up here on the left represents a workbook. That was the starting workbook. And we ran this workbook relationship diagram. And what it does is it goes out and finds all the related files. And then it scans through those to find other linked files and builds up this genealogy tree. So if you were asking whether you would trust this spreadsheet, who wants to answer that? Yeah. And believe me, these are not the worst I've seen. I had one of these where really the whole page was green. It's just amazing how links can start to proliferate. Okay. So again, just to talk about Spreadsheet Inquirer, it's for a lot of logic inspection, and we'll look closer at that. Okay. So steps to mitigating spreadsheet and EUC risk. So it's pretty much that these gears in the middle, I'm trying to say, are the tools that we provide. There's going to be some policies and procedures and manual steps that go with that. But the goal here is just to get from the red to the green, right? You want to go from the uncontrolled to the controlled, and hopefully we can help you do that. Okay. Just a little bit more detail about the Audit and Control Management Server 2013. So this actually includes, we're talking about the license aspect of it here. I just wanted to put this out there because I was pretty confident somebody would ask. So this is going to be licensed through SharePoint, so it's kind of like a SharePoint server license. It's actually not going to be released until the first half of next year. So you're getting a little preview here. And I'll point out some things that may change a little bit. But that includes the discovery and risk assessment as well as the audit and control management server. They're kind of a package that work together. Okay. And the users would need a SharePoint eCal for that. Okay. So just where these fit, just trying to show you that we have these tools kind of built on the foundation of some other Microsoft tools. So the Discovery and Risk Assessment and Audit and Control Management Server have a back-end database that's SQL Server. Of course, we integrate with SharePoint. Obviously, we're working in Excel and focusing on Excel and Access, so we have Office. And the server tools run on Windows Server. Okay, and now on to the demo. Okay, so what I want to do is take you through kind of a lifecycle approach to this. We're going to start with the discovery tool, because oftentimes, at least in my experience, organizations really don't have a good idea of exactly how big the problem is in the organization. And I think I've even seen organizations that don't even want to know, right? They see that we have this great tool, and they kind of were like, you know what, it's a little bit too scary. We'll let that for the next guy. Anyway, I'll just run through this. So there's really two main aspects to the discovery and risk assessment. The first is the discovery. And basically, the way that works is very simple. You specify any number of network shares or SharePoint document libraries where you know that your files exist. You specify some pretty basic search criteria, like in this case, I'm really just focused on these few file extensions, Excel and Access. You want to put a date range on that. So, if you look on your network somewhere, you'll probably find thousands and thousands of spreadsheets that are 2 or 3 years old or more. And you really don't necessarily need to focus on those because they're not changing. They're not really adding any risk to your organization for the most part. So you'll focus on files that are kind of currently adding risk. So you can put a date range in there. There's some options about where to search. So, I want to search in subfolders. We can check files that don't have extensions or check all file extensions in case somebody modified an Excel file and gave it a different extension, things like that. So the search criteria is pretty straightforward. And then two of the important things here are just that we're going to calculate the risk. So after the search is done, you'll see that happening, the system is going to, oh, question? The question is, would the check all file extensions check for files that were saved as other types? No, the intent of that is really to check for files where somebody changed the extension, but it's really an Excel file. So our tool is going to go in and actually look at the properties of the file to see that it's an Excel file. Yes? In terms of the question is about what file types do we support in Excel. So do we support Excel 2010, 2007? And the answer is yes. So this tool is running on a server. It doesn't matter what the users have. It just matters that the tool can read the files. So really, the XLS format and above is supported. Exactly, exactly. Good question. So to clarify, for the server tools, they are part of Office 2013, and they actually require Excel and Access 2013 to run on the server, but you don't have to have all the clients upgraded. Of course, we want you to, but... question?
From a security and compliance point of view, does your tool impersonate a service account that can control what is crawling? Because you're going after file shares. How do you manage that?
Yeah, the question is about security. So is this discovery running as a service account or something like that? And the answer is yes. So this is actually just a thick application. We actually can run it as a service. There's a little service manager tool that comes with it. And you would create some service account generally that would run. And it's not going to break through any security on your network. So whatever access that account has, that's all it will be able to see. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so what do we see here? Okay, after the discovery happened, this is actually the Access database tab, so I'll go back to the spreadsheets. It went through and it analyzed all the spreadsheets according to some criteria that I set up, and I'll show you that. And it basically gave me this pie chart showing me that I have 26% high-risk files. It's probably not a good situation in real life, but that's what I have here. So how do we get to this high, medium, and low risk calculation? Okay. So the tool looks at two aspects of the spreadsheets. One we call materiality, which is really the financial impact of the spreadsheet. And this is a little bit subjective, so I have some examples here of criteria that you could apply to try to figure that out. So for basically what materiality is doing is it's looking at content within the spreadsheets, and you get to put a kind of a price on that. So in this case, the first example here is just I see a cell value that's really a high number. I can say that that's got 50 points toward materiality. You could look for patterns. So this is an example where maybe I have social security numbers in there. You know, I'm going to rank PII a little bit higher, so I give that some score. So probably what's most common is to use keywords. So we're you see here the few keywords going down. And this is something that you would generate over time. So you'd probably run this maybe with no materiality settings the first time you use it, and gradually you'll kind of discover what's important to put in there. But basically, you can look at all different areas of content within the spreadsheets. Cell values, sheet names, the file name, what it's linked to, things like that. Yes? The question is, does the tool actually pull requirements from any regulations and use it? The answer is no. One thing you'll find, like if you read the SOX 404 and try to understand, like where does it talk about spreadsheet controls? It's like two sentences. It says organizations must have, or I guess public companies, must have adequate controls over their financial reporting systems, something like that. It's very vague. So we don't have anything that automatically evaluates against the regulations. Okay. So the second aspect and the more straightforward one when we're determining the risk is the complexity of the spreadsheet. So for complexity, we're looking at attributes of Excel that, you know, basically they're common to all Excel files. It's not looking at the content. So just to kind of illustrate how this works, I'm looking at the number of formulas in the spreadsheets, and I basically here have four thresholds. So if I have 100 formulas, I get 5 points. If I have 3,000, I get 5 more points, and it just adds on. So the more complex spreadsheets are just naturally going to have a higher score. And then you can determine what category they fall into down here at the bottom from rudimentary all the way up to advanced. Okay. And this, what you see in front of you for the complexity, is actually a default template that comes with the tool. So you really don't need to think much about complexity. Just right out of the box, it's going to rank all your spreadsheets pretty well. You may need to just tweak these thresholds here a little bit, but that will be about it. And then finally, we just look at the intersection of materiality and complexity, and that determines whether it's high, medium, or low risk. Okay. So you can control this as well. And these settings can be saved. So you may have different business areas that need different criteria, and that's fine. You can save these settings and run the tool in different ways for different business areas. So let's look a little bit closer at the data that we get here. So along with giving us the risk ranking, Discovery also collects some nice statistics about our spreadsheets. So you see the ranking, but you actually see the score, which may be nice. You might want to just forget about the categories that we label these with and just look at the scores and say, show me the most complex to the least complex, and you can just start working your way from the top to the bottom and put controls on your spreadsheets. You also find all this other information, like basically the complexity criteria that went into the score. We try to record a lot of the data here. So you can see the number of formulas, whether you have links, data connections, nested if formulas, how many sheets you have, macros, all those sorts of things. Okay. And all this data is being saved in a database. So we have what's called a master inventory. So the way that you would use Discovery is typically an ongoing process. So of course there's going to be a starting point, but then you're going to want to run this frequently. So you could even run it daily, maybe weekly, monthly. But we know that spreadsheets are always being created by users. They're being copied, they're being renamed, reused. So they're always your inventory is always changing and usually always growing. So you really need to keep on top of this and keep using it. Yes?
Does the tool interrogate
power pivot
models?
The question is, does the tool interrogate power pivot models? And right now, no. We're trying to actually play a little catch up with ourselves at this point. Yes. The question is, does it detect data connections? The answer is yes, and I can show you that here. So right in the data, we see how many data connections there are. And even better, it actually will, let me see if I can pick a good one out here. So it will actually store all that. So we actually have records in the database that show me exactly what the connection is. So I get the connection string, and if it's a connection to a database, it will even have the SQL in there. So what can you do with this data? So it's being stored in a database, so you can access it through the database, but you can also just use some of the nifty new tools we have in Excel. So you can export all this data to Excel, and then it's really simple to just open it up and use like even just a slicer on it. And I have an example of that. Let's see here. So I took all that data that I had just for spreadsheets, and if I want to just quickly drill in and see, okay, in this example, I have just the high risk, advanced complexity, and critical materiality ones selected. So it's really easy to kind of filter through the data that way. Okay. Yes? That's generally the way that it would be done because it is a server tool, so you'd have it kind of running as a service, and then you know, somebody would get the data, maybe a manager or something. But I actually have seen this in use with the tools almost exactly like this are in use with some customers of the Proteus Corporation that was acquired. In some of those cases, they would actually give out the discovery tool to a key person in each business area, so they'd be able to run it for themselves and kind of take care of their own shop. And also, that helped with the security aspect of it because they would be searching files that they already have access to, and there was no need to set up a service account and grant access to all the files because that can be a challenge. Okay. So moving on, was there another question? Moving on, I wanted to just show the next step in this life cycle. So if we use discovery and we identify some of the critical workbooks, then the next thing is to put them under control. Okay. So one of the ways that we need to do that is understand how they work. So I'm going to go into this Enquire add-in and talk about that a little bit. So the Enquire add-in is really meant to document and analyze and understand the spreadsheets. So I'm just going to go through some of the features here kind of one by one. So here's this critical workbook that I have. And one of the first things we have is called the workbook analysis. The workbook analysis is really just kind of, we sometimes refer to it as the MRI for a spreadsheet. So it's really simple to use. You just basically click on the button and it analyzes the file. And then hopefully this will finish here in a second. It's going to give us data about 40 different categories of things that we can look at in the spreadsheet. So you see here now it finished the analysis. First, there's just a summary. This is actually somewhat similar to the data that eDiscovery gives us. It's just a high level, right? High level statistics about the spreadsheet. But then you can really drill down into it. So you can see the list of sheets. Maybe you want to look at formulas with errors. So it's really easy to use the tool. You just hover your mouse over the category and you get a definition of exactly what that means. So in this case, any cell that has one of the Excel error codes is going to be reported. And if you wanted to go and see that, you can just double click on it and it takes your cursor right to the cell. So here, that's actually a nice one. I have an error in a cell and I made it white on white so we couldn't see it. And then you can just switch back to the report. Here's one I like to look at. So one of the interesting things to look at in spreadsheets is negative formulas. I've talked to some accountants that have used this tool, and they always look at negative formulas, and the simple reason is that the minus sign is right next to the equal sign on the keyboard. So it would be pretty easy to make this as a typo, and obviously it can have a dramatic effect on the results. So it's pretty easy. You can just get a list and quickly glance down, and hopefully you'll be able to know that, yeah, these should be negative formulas or not. You can find inconsistent formulas. So you don't have to search around and find the little green tick mark in all the spreadsheets to find inconsistent formulas. You can just report those. And these are formulas that are just different from their neighboring cells. And let's see a couple other ones here. Invisible cells, this is a good one. So if you have a cell that's formatted with the same background color as the foreground color, we call that an invisible cell. And of course, you might want to look at those. There's some stories in the news where somebody hid some cell or made some cells invisible, and there was some kind of transaction that included all these unwanted assets, and the purchaser, you know, sometime down the road, realized that they had all these invisible things in there, and it was actually legally part of the transaction, so they didn't want that. Okay. So part of the documentation aspect of this is the ability to export this. So you can export this analysis report with all this data. I already have one here. And it'll make a report out of it, and this is really useful for just creating your documentation, and I'll show you why that is. So it takes each one of the checkboxes that I had selected, and if there were data in that section, it would create a tab here in this new workbook. And then I can go through, and as a reviewer, I can make comments in here. So maybe I go through all the formulas with errors and I can make comments. Maybe it's okay. That one's not. But maybe some of them it's just okay if there's an error code. And you can put that in here. So if you hand this spreadsheet off to somebody else and they have no idea how you designed it, this will give them a little bit of guidance and fulfill one of your requirements, which is to have good documentation. The next thing I'm going to show you is some relationship diagrams. So this, like the diagrams that I showed you before, it has three different relationship diagrams. There's this one, which is the workbook relationship, which is at the file level, so it shows you how this file is related to other Excel files, and then once it finds those other files, it just keeps going and going until it finds all the links. So this will take a minute or two here. But basically, it just walking the genealogy tree for the data so you can see where all the data is coming from, and you'll see something interesting here. You'll know whether it's up to date, so you might have to go and refresh some of the calculations, refresh some of the workbooks along the tree there. And this also looks through, as you can see at the bottom here, external or data connections, not just workbook links. Okay. So this one's a little bit more manageable to look at. Again, the icon that's on the left is the workbook that I have open that I started with. So it went through and found all the links in there, puts an icon in for all the linked files, and then it searches through all those to find if there are more links. So here we can see a few more links going out. And it also gives us some information just by looking at the color. So here's one where it says the data may not be up to date. So what it's doing, it looks at the data that's upstream, and if that data is newer than the downstream file, it says, hey, this may not be up to date. So I think a common misperception about Excel is that if you have linked files and you update data in the precedent file, the data just magically gets pushed down to the other one. That's not true. That other file actually needs to be opened up, and the data has to get pulled in. So that would be the case here. I'd want to open up this yellow one and refresh the links or calculations. We can see if there's a broken link, so you see the little X in the corner of this one. So this file is missing or not accessible. We can see other types of links. So here's a data connection out to the internet. There it is. And also out to Access databases. Okay, so there's another diagram that goes down to the sheet level. So this one, we're actually focusing more on the interdependency of the sheets within this one workbook. So this is going to tell us how the data goes from these other sheets in this workbook, but also sheets in other workbooks. And this is just a good way to find some interesting problems. I think in this one I have something questionable that's going to come up that'll answer the question I had before about very hidden sheets. Okay, so again, the workbook we started with is over here on the left. We see an icon representing each one of the sheets in here, and you can see an arrow if there's data flowing within the between the sheets. So here we see data going from cash flow to P&L statement. We have links out to all these other sheets and other files. And the one thing that's interesting about this one, I just happen to notice there's two sheets that have the same name. It's kind of odd because Excel doesn't let you do that. So I look at this one and it's telling me this one's visible. That's good. This one says very hidden. And this is actually, if you look at this, I can say, okay, well, there's a very hidden sheet. It has the same name as one that's visible, and it's providing data to this P&L statement up here. So that makes me think, why is this? So basically, someone is hiding the data that's being used in the calculations, and they have visible data that looks the same, but it's actually not being used in a calculation. So you might want to take a real close look at that one. So anyway, to answer what a very hidden sheet is, it's actually a sheet that it's hidden by going into VBA and saying, make this very hidden. So if I right-click down here and choose unhide, I don't even see that one. I can't unhide it. So unless you're someone who knows about very hidden sheets, you'll really have no chance to find this one. Okay. Okay. So the final relationship diagram is this one that goes down to the cell level. So this is where you can actually pick out a certain cell and trace the data that's coming into and out of that cell within the workbook. So this one's actually, at times it can be a bit like Spirograph, but it can be handy. So the difference here between just using the trace dependence feature that's right in Excel is that this one, of course, it's in a new window and you can kind of move things around and drill into it, but it also spans other sheets. So you're not just limited to what you can see on the screen at the time. So again, we could go here and say, show me all the precedent cells of this one, and I can very easily go and find where's the data coming into this cell, right? Okay. Okay. So those are really the main features of the Enquirer. We have a little clean excess formatting tool over here. Basically, if you have workbooks that have lots of rows and columns that are formatted but they're not actually being used, that can make your workbooks bigger, so we can help you get rid of that. And then the last tool is this compare files, and I'm going to get to this in a minute. So what I want to do now is kind of move on from the analysis part and get into the ACM server. Yes? Right. Okay, so the question is there any way to know that the user has run these tools and done the analysis, and is the analysis on the server? So first, about the server is not the one analyzing this, so you would have to, for now, rely on the users to run these tools the right way. So at the moment, we don't have an automated way to check for that. Yep. Well, you can export it, so you could have... Yeah. But I hope I can demonstrate that you may not need to do the analysis on a monthly basis. So, and that's kind of the perfect lead-in to where we're going now. So the ACM server, let's say I documented this spreadsheet, I fixed all the problems, I trust it now, but using that workbook analysis and looking at that whole report and, you know, going and finding all the problems, there's some manual effort there. And this spreadsheet is very simple, but I know from working with some of the customers that I've worked with, they may spend a week just working on one spreadsheet or maybe more, so you really don't want to have to repeat that again. Once you get it into good working order, you want to just keep it that way. So one of the easy ways to do that is to just put it under control of the ACM server. So to do that, in this case, I just set up my server to watch this document library. So I basically just said, keep track of all the Excel files in this document library. So this one, I can go here and I'm going to check this one out. And now I can just make some changes. So I have an update values button there that does a data entry and a whole bunch of the data entry fields so that my demo goes nice and fast. And I'm going to just make a variety of different changes here. So deleting a row, I'll go down here. Maybe I'll mess up this formula a little bit, even though I said it's under control. I'll fix this one. And here I have just a hard-coded value I'm going to change, just so we can see what formula changes look like. And I also want to change some VBA code in here, so maybe I have some calculations that are being done in VBA. I can just tweak those a little bit. And I could, so basically, you know, as an end user, I'm just working in Excel. And that's really what I wanted to point out here. So that even though this file is being monitored, it doesn't really affect me as an end user, right? So that's pretty nice. We've seen from experience that if you try to really impact the end user too much, they'll fight back, and you don't want that. So they may try to find a way around it, or they just may be unhappy. Whatever the case, you want to make it as easy as possible for the end user, but you still need the controls. So at this point, I just check it in. Put in a comment about what I did. And I should point out some advantages. I mentioned that this tool can be used to monitor files that are on network shares or SharePoint. Really, SharePoint's the optimal solution. I think hopefully this audience all agrees with that. I mean, the check-in and check-out is just huge in this whole process. Our tool will monitor files on network shares, but then we have to try to figure out when did the user modify it, and do they really want a new version now, even though they were just saving it kind of midstream. So the check-in and check-out is really important. But you also get the ability to put a comment like I just did, and also the identity of the person who made the change is much more robust when you're using a check-in and check-out versus trying to figure out who modified a file that's on a network share. Okay, so what happened there? I just saved that file, or checked it back in. I'm going to refresh my web page here because it's been sitting for a while. So here we go. About a minute ago, I updated this file. And we have an add-in that's going to add a little context menu onto your normal context menu called View Audit Trail. I think what I'm showing you here, I need to caveat that this UI will be changing before it gets released. So we may not actually call this an audit trail, but the concept is exactly the same as what you see here. So we go down to a detailed level here. We say exactly what happened within this spreadsheet. So we know that at 2:16 p.m., that must be Eastern time, yeah, these changes were made. I have the username pulled out of SharePoint here. For those changes, they were all in this one sheet, but basically, you know, we get the, oh, it looks like I didn't save my VBA changes. We get the detailed changes, so I can see where I modified that one formula a little bit, modified these other formulas. We see that there was a row deleted. And the one of the real important things here is just this description. So having the description allows you to pick and choose important changes. So you may not be concerned with value changes. You'll notice there are no value changes listed here at all. But I did click that button, and I changed a whole bunch of the values. All right. So basically, I have it configured where all I care about are functional important changes. I know there's going to be lots of value changes. I really don't care to look through all that data. So I just focus in on the really important things. So now back to the point about keeping this under control. If I've done a lot of the work with Inquire and documented it and tested it, and now I put it under control, I can just see from use to use, hey, nothing really changed here except these few things. Maybe these formula changes shouldn't have been made, but maybe they're okay. But you just don't need to go and do that detailed analysis anymore. I'm not sure why it didn't capture my VBA changes there, but I'll show you what it would look like because I did this earlier. So for VBA, like I said, if you even change one character, you'll find that. So we could see in that first view that we actually had a VBA change, and here we bring it into what looks like WinDiff, and you can see exactly what changes these three lines here. Okay. Any questions about all this? Okay, while we're talking about this, I just want to make a change to a database and show you how that works. This takes a few minutes, so I'm going to kind of switch off. Yes? That's up for debate, actually. I said this isn't being, it's being released in the first half of next year, and that's a feature we're thinking about. But I don't know if we'll have it ready for next time. But you can track specific values. So we have this idea of key items. So not that you would get a notification, but you could say, I don't care about values everywhere, but on this key range, I want to track the values all the time. And it would be, give you the ability then to look in the database, and you could do trending on that value, and it would show up in the audit trail as well, so you'd be able to see it there. But you wouldn't have the notification on that. So I'm just going to change some really silly things in here just to show this. I changed the description a little bit. I'll change this field size. And let's go to a query and change something there. Uh-oh. This one's not too good. Let's try another one. So we'll just change it from ascending to descending sort order. Let's save that. And we'll close out of it. Okay, so for access, this is actually an example of a file that's on a network share. I don't know if any of you have tried to put access into a SharePoint library, but you can do it, but it's not the easiest thing to work with. So this file is just on a network share. So we'll let that go. So what's happening now in the background, our system has detected that that file was modified. It's going to grab a copy of it and store it in a secure location. And then it's going to run the comparison of the old version to the new version so we can see exactly what changes happened in there. Okay. So while that's happening, I'm going to jump back and show the spreadsheet compare again. So I still have this version that I have open here. So what I think what I'll do is close that one. And I want to get just the most recent one that I just checked in. So I'll go here. And I'll just show you a little bit more detail of that one. And back to inquire and compare files. So it's, again, super easy. Actually, I think I picked the wrong version here. It says unsaved file there. I'm not sure what that is, but we have some good changes in here anyway. So what you see here, hopefully, is pretty easy to understand. The upper left is the old file, or the file number one. So you can compare files in any order. Generally, you should say compare old file to new file, and that makes the description of the changes seem a little bit better. But you see the display of the files up in the upper portion, and then this list down in the bottom is the list of differences. So clicking on those, it will actually jump to the cell and show you exactly where the change occurred. And we have these, again, categorized or described so you know what is each type of change. So, for example, these purple ones are the formula changes. To me, that's really what I'm interested in. So I'm going to just turn off the value changes. That was entered values. I'm going to also turn off the calculated values. So now, as a reviewer, if I take this copy of the workbook from before that I knew was under control, I can compare it and see right here that, okay, this is the only thing that happened. One of the really important things I want to point out here is, if look at the row numbers on here. Because we found out that there was a deleted row, and this is not tracking the fact that I deleted it. Like, when I was in Excel and I deleted that row, it wasn't tracking my keystrokes. It's really just comparing these files after the fact. So it's able to determine that I deleted that row, and then it realigns everything when it does the comparison of what's left. So that's why we're actually saying there are changes that were in row 23 of the previous version, and we're saying they're in row 22 in the new version. Okay. So what's, it may seem intuitive, but to the computer, it's really important that we don't just say what changed in each individual cell address, because then you'd have hundreds of changes that really wouldn't be meaningful at all. So that's a really important feature. Okay. Any questions about the compare tool? Okay. So we're going to go back and look at the, hopefully find the changes for that access database and show how that works. Okay. So what I'm showing you here again, this UI is going to be changing. So this is kind of our old UI that we had for our web server. We're going to make this look a lot nicer and simpler, but the point is the same. So I have a list of the files that are under control. So I pick out that database that I just made changes to, and then here we can see the details. So I changed the description of that one column. I changed the data type a little bit. It tells me when the change occurred. And then for the query, I get the details. So if I want to see exactly what that change was, I need to drill in, and I can see here that I changed the order by from ascending to descending. So it's pretty powerful. So we're getting close to wrapping up the actual demo portion of this. We actually can do a database compare. This takes a few minutes sometimes, so I'm not sure if this will work fast enough, but I'll start it running. And this, again, is a desktop tool. And let's see. Pick that guy. It's really simple. You just basically choose all the things you want to compare. As I said, we're not comparing the data here. We're just comparing the structure of the spreadsheets or databases. And then after a minute or two, you're going to get a report that looks pretty much the same as that audit trail that I showed you. Yeah?
You mentioned that most of the data has been displayed in server-based and SQL-based.
Yeah.
By the time you guys release the product, will you document those table structures so they can put on BI SQL?
It's going to be open. I don't know if we'll have the documentation ready or what we plan to do there, but the database structure is pretty simple. We'll have to look further into that. Right now, we're literally, you know, working as hard as we can to get this out because the Proteance company was acquired really late in the office 2013. That's kind of why we're a little bit behind. So we're... Yeah, yep. Yeah, absolutely. I'll take that back. Okay. So it doesn't look like this is going to finish in time for me here. I don't want to make everybody wait for that. So I'm going to switch back to here and just point out a couple other things. Just want to really recap where we are. So again, these are the new tools. The ones in blue there are the server tools, again, that they're going to be the SharePoint server license, and they need the SharePoint eCal to use those. And then the ones in green are the desktop tools, and these are included with Pro Plus, if you have Office Pro Plus. Okay. And these, the spreadsheet compare, database compare, and spreadsheet inquire will be available. I'm not sure if you have access to the Pro Plus at this point or not, but they were on time with the rest of Office. Okay. So I have some other resources here. There's some documentation on these already up on TechNet, and there's a write-up of all this on the Excel blog. Anyway, I'll be happy to take questions if anybody has it, or stick around and have a discussion about any of this. Question, yeah. Yeah, so the question is, for the client tools, does the user need to have Office 2013 on their machine, or are they separate? They're part of Office 2013, so you need to have Office 2013 to get those. Yep. Anything else? Yes. So the tools themselves, because they come with Office 2013, you need to get Office 2013, but they will analyze files created by users with the older versions of Excel and Access. It's just that you can't kind of deploy these with the older version. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, well, thanks very much for coming, and I'll be happy to have a side discussion if anyone wants to stop by. Thanks.